Deuteronomy, the first chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, and page 216 in your Scofield Bible. We'll read first of all verses 6 through 11, and then a couple more verses later in the chapter we'll read also. Reading responsibly, verses 6 through 11. Shall we stand, please, as is the case that we always do? In this passage, the text verse is the sixth verse. The Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, Ye have dwelt long enough in this mount. Turn you, and take your journey, and go to the mount of the Amorites, and unto all the places nigh thereunto, in the plain, in the hills, and in the vale, and in the south, and by the seaside, and to the land of the Canaanites, and unto Lebanon, unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them. And I spake unto you at that time, saying, I am not able to bear you myself alone. The Lord your God hath multiplied you, and behold, ye are this day as the stars of heaven for multitude. The Lord God of your fathers make you 1,000 times so many more as ye are, and bless you as he hath promised you. Now to verses 32 and 33 of the same chapter. The first chapter, verses 32 and 33. And let's read these verses together with the 33rd verse, also a text verse. Ready? Yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to search you out a place to pitch your tents in fire by night, to show you by what way you should go, and in a cloud by day. And let's pray. Father, thank you for this night. We pray that you'd bless in a wonderful and sweet and precious way the preaching of the word. Thank you for time at the Lord's table. Thank you for the spirit that we feel in this place, and for the singing, and yes, even for the laughter, that we especially thank you for your word. We pray that you'd give us more than just careful attention. Help us to take to heart, and help us to focus our minds, our very souls, upon that which is preached. In Jesus' name, amen.
I have been wanting, and I shall not take time to do it, but I have been wanting somewhere publicly to spend a few moments of public praise to God for his goodness to me in 1984. I have so many things tonight for which I'm grateful, and how good God has been. As I said this morning in my Sunday school class, I think I was talking to God when I said it, I thank God for all the noon days and noon times in 1984. But I thank God that when the midnights came, he was the present. I thank God for all the victories. I thank God for all the times when it was easy to see a great distance. But I thank God for the times that when we could not see our hands in front of our faces, that he was there. I love that song, Standing Somewhere in the Shadows, You Will Find Him. I love it. And I'd love to take about an hour and just list all the things for which I thank God for in 1984. I will not take the time, but simply to say before I preach, I do want to personally, publicly testify to the goodness of God to me this year. I was thinking a while ago, it may be that I'll be sick next week and cannot preach next Sunday. But it's been over 20 years now since I missed a speaking engagement because of illness. Think about that. I preach every day, nearly. And most days I preach several times a day. Sometimes I've had to whisper because of hoarseness, and sometimes I've had to lean against the pulpit a little bit because of temperature or illness, but I have not been so ill that I could not preach. And it's been now for over 20 years. It's been that way. And I praise Him tonight. And I want to speak tonight a little bit about New Year's. In our passage tonight we read, our Lord reminded us, or reminded the Israelites, of something very precious to me. I never read this chapter without dwelling on this verse, or these verses. Yet in this thing, you did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to search you out a place to pitch your tents, in fire by night, to show you by what way ye should go, and in a cloud by day. The Israelites are coming to the promised land. They have spent these years in the wilderness. It will not be long until they'll trade the Red Sea for the Jordan River. It will not be long until they'll trade their tents for permanent dwelling places. It will not be long till the need for the cloud by day and the fire by night will have been passed. And God will lead them another way. It will not be long until they'll cross the Jordan River. On Jordan's stormy banks they'll stand and cast a wistful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where their possessions lie. They're bound for the promised land. God reminds them that He is going to bless them tomorrow, and He uses proof that He blessed them yesterday. I'm going to say this after a while in the body of my message. But brother, the best reason for me to believe that God will be good tomorrow is that God was good yesterday. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Through many dangers, toils, and snares I have already come. His grace hath led me safe thus far, and the grace will lead me home. That's what they were saying. God was saying. He was saying, I've led you thus far. I'll certainly lead you on in to the promised land. Our Heavenly Father, bless our discussion tonight in a special way, and give us the attention of all the people as we leave the wilderness of 1984 to enter the land of promise of 1985. In Jesus' name, amen. In just a few hours, you will enter into a new year. You do not know what that year holds. It may be the date on the tombstone of one who is among the dearest of life to you. It may be a year of mountain peaks where the air is crisp and the sun is bright. Or it may be a year of the valley where you cannot see the way and you have to trust your guide by faith, for you cannot even see his face. It may be a year of bounty, where it is easy to see the hand of God. Or it may be a year of wondering how life's events could possibly be best for you. It may be a year when it's easier for you to understand the workings of God. Or 1985 may be a year to you where you'll have to wonder how in the world this could be best. You'd have a difficult time understanding this is best, the thing that God has placed across your path. And you have to trust by faith the goodness of God in the land of the living. It may be a year when you must fly by radar and trust by faith that He is in the tower. Or it may be a year when you can see His face clearly as you journey. It may be a year of all your prayers being speedily answered. Or it may be a year in which denial may be your choicest gift. Yet whatever comes, you may be sure of one thing. It is what God has planned for you. Can you see in this beautiful passage, in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 32 and 33, can you see God's beautiful leadership? He said to His people, every place you've been, in the past, I have gone before you and have picked out the place for you to pitch your tents. I have chosen it. Can you see God going in the wilderness and saying, now, this is the place where I want my children, and this is the best place for them for their next journey? Then God would send His pillar of cloud by day and pillar of fire by night and beckon the Israelites, it's time to move on now. I've chosen another place for you. God, even now, is in the land of 1985 seeking out a place for you. Now I want to say this, folks, before we ever start the year, whether or not you can understand the place that God chooses for you, it is the place that God chooses for you. Whether or not you can comprehend why this is a place you have to dwell, or the circumstances in which you have to live, it is the place, and these are the circumstances that God chooses for you. See, in looking for just the right place, sometimes He took them to a lofty peak. It was His provision for them. Sometimes a rocky hill filled with jagged edges was their place to dwell. It was His provision for them. Sometimes a barren desert with its choking heat was their place to dwell. But it was His provision for them. Sometimes a dreary valley with its blinding fog was the place that God chose. But it was His provision for them. You see, God doesn't have to explain to you why what's best is best. God owes you no explanation. He owes you only leadership. God owes you no discussion concerning why He does thus and so. He simply owes it to you to say, in 1985, I'll give you what I think is best. I'll not give you what you think is best, what I think is best. I'll not lead you where you want to go. I'll lead you where I know it's best for you to go. I'll not feed you as you choose to be fed. I'll feed you as I know you need to be fed. I'll not bless you as you feel you need to get blessed. I'll bless you as I feel you need to get blessed. And so, as we start 1985, may we look up and say, dear God, You know the way. You know what I need. You know where I need to go. You know the circumstances through which I need to travel. And so I'll trust what You think is best. Now, in explaining this great truth, God takes us high to a rocky ledge. He shows us a downy nest snuggled in the heights of a rocky ledge. He shows us little eaglets hiding in the nest high above the valley, snuggled in a nest in a rocky ledge. There a strong eagle has brought them into life by her maternal brooding. There she feeds them and guards them and broods over them. One day, she does something the eaglets cannot understand. Let me say this again. You had better thank God that you cannot understand the working of God. His ways are above our ways. His ways are beyond our ways. If we could understand the working of our God, we would not have a great God. And so all we can do is we'll just say, I'll trust You. As I preach so often, in all Thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. In all Thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. In all Thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. In all Thy ways acknowledge Him, in all Thy ways acknowledge Him, in all Thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. That's His job. It's not my job next year to direct my path. It's His job. He goes before me. He chooses where I go. I acknowledge Him as I go. He chooses where I live. I acknowledge Him as I abide there. He chooses what I eat. I acknowledge Him. It is His job to choose, to direct my path. It is His job to decide where I go. Wherever He leads, I'll go. I'll just follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever He leads, I'll go. And so, the little eaglet there in the nest, something very strange happens, as we find in this chapter of Deuteronomy, as God is saying, I've led you through the wilderness, I'll lead you to the promised land. I led you across the Red Sea, I'll lead you across the Jordan River. I led you out of Egypt, I'll lead you into Canaan. I led you from Pharaoh, I'll lead you into Ethiocracy. And God is simply saying, trust me, if I led you here, I'll lead you there. And as the little eaglets are nestled high in the ledge above the valley, all of a sudden the mother eagle does something very strange. Misunderstood by the little eaglets, they can't understand it. She suddenly, she begins to do something they can understand. She gently slides the little eagle to the edge of the nest. He can't understand it. I hear him cry. I see his fear. I hear him say, "Mother, I don't understand. Why are you pushing me toward the end of the nest? It's dangerous. It's a long fall." And the mother says, "My child, you'll understand someday. You don't have to understand now. You'll understand someday." And the next day, that mother eagle pushes that little eaglet a little closer to that ledge. And the next day, a little closer. "But mother, understand it. I like it here. Why should I have to have my life jeopardized? I could fall." And then one day, the mother eagle takes that little eaglet and pushes that little eaglet out of the nest and off the ledge and down toward the valley. And the little eaglet turns and twists and falls and screams and says, "Mother, I don't understand." And then all of a sudden, the eagle spreads her broad wings and flies beneath the little eaglet who's twisting and turning and falling toward the valley beneath, below. And she spreads her wings, and on her wings the little eaglet lands, and the mother soars back up to the cliff again, and on the ledge of that cliff and into that little nest, and she puts that little eaglet there again. The little eaglet's so glad to be home and back safe again. And then the next day, the mother eagle comes and she pushes that little eaglet toward the edge again. And the next day, a little closer to the edge, and then closer. The eaglet says, "But mother, I don't understand. I don't understand. And I've looked at God and you have too at 84 and said, I don't understand. I don't understand it. You'll have to understand it. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. He'll direct thy path. Let Him lead you. Let Him decide where you dwell. He's out tonight in 84 while I stand here in December 30, 1984. My Heavenly Father is out yonder preparing every place I'll dwell in 85. He's preparing every need I have in 85. He's preparing every bite of food I'll eat in 85. He's preparing every garment I'll wear in 85. And I don't have to understand. It's not my job to direct my path. It's my job. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. And He shall direct thy path. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. And He shall direct thy path. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. And He shall direct thy path. And that's His job. That's God's job. And He's out yonder now preparing. He's the guide preparing the way. Now it's your job to say, "By the grace of God, I'll trust Him." And then that mother eaglet pushes that little eaglet, mother eagle pushes that little eaglet toward the edge of the nest. And the little eaglet becomes frightened again and suddenly falls off the edge and plunges earthward. And as it twists and turns and tries to do something to save itself, that mother eagle again flies down beneath that little eaglet falling toward its death. And she spreads her wings apart. And she catches that little eaglet on her wings and soars back to the nest once again. You'll find this in Deuteronomy chapter 1. And she takes the little eaglet to the nest again. And the eaglet is snuggled in the nest. And then the next day, mother eagle once again pushes that little eaglet toward the edge. And then a little more. "But why, mother? I don't understand it. You'll have to understand it. Mama knows best. And mama has planned what's best for you. And listen, I have a God in heaven. He knows what's best for me. He is omniscient. He is omnipotent. He is omnipresent. He sits in the high tower tonight. He plans my life. It's my job. Wherever He leads, I'll go. It's my job to acknowledge Him and praise Him and preach Him and exalt Him and teach Him and sing of Him and tell of Him and speak of Him and glorify Him and worship Him and adore Him. And it's my job to say, "Dear Heavenly Father, Thou the guide of my life, Thou the director of my path, You go before." As God did in the wilderness, I'm sure the Jews many times said, "Why do we have to live here in a rocky place like this?" And God says, "I think it's best that you live there." And I'm sure sometimes on the mountaintop they'd say, "My, I understand this. The air is crisp and the sun is bright and I can see forever. It's nice." But sometime God prepared a place in the valley where they could not see their hands in front of them for the fog. And they wondered why. Okay, you may wonder why, but there's one in heaven who knows why. And you just trust Him. He knows what's best. God's way is the best way. God's way is the best way. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. He shall direct thy path. It's my job to acknowledge Him. I'm not the path director. And so the little eaglet is pushed toward the ledge again and begins to tremble. And finally, one day, that little eaglet, as it falls toward the earth, finds it has wings. And then a little bit, it flies just a bit and then loses balance and starts to fall earthward. And the mother eagle comes down and swoops underneath that little eaglet, falling and twisting and turning, but flying just a little bit. And then one day, that mother pushes that little eaglet off the nest. And one day, that little eaglet begins to fall, and suddenly that little eaglet begins to fly. And beside her mother, she flies herself back to the nest. And there she looks at her mother and says, "Mother, I could never have known how to fly if you hadn't pushed me off the ledge." And there's some things that God is trying to teach you by the fact that He's pushed you off the ledge. But let me tell you something. If you love God and if you're in God's will, He'll never push you off a ledge without coming down underneath you and holding you under His wings. "Under His wings I'm safely abiding." The Bible talks about how He keeps me in His wings and in His feathers. "Under His wings shalt thou trust, His feathers shall also cover thee. Under His wings shalt thou trust," the Bible says. And so God uses that illustration. And some of you this evening, you're snuggled in the nest. That's where you are in life. Some of you are near the ledge and you're afraid you're about to be pushed off. Others of you are falling and doubting and wondering what God has done and why God has put down to you what He's done, and you're doubting the work of God. And others of you are flying, and you can say, "Thank God He made me suffer. Thank God I had the pain." As I look back to 1984 tonight, I want to lift my voice to God and say, "Thank God for every moment the sun was shining, but thank God for His presence in the clouds. Thank God for every time the victory was played and the wreath was placed around my neck. But thank God for the times when in defeat He was so sweet and so precious and so real. Thank God for the times when I was on the mountaintop, but thank God for the time when I was in the valley. God knows what's best." And as I look to 85, I don't know what 85 holds for me. It may be 10 times as many blessings or obvious blessings as blessings I cannot comprehend. It may be more shadow than sunshine. It may be more sunshine than shadow. I don't have to know. All I have to know is that tonight He's out yonder getting it ready for me. He's getting it all ready for me. And every place I go, that's where He wants me to go. And what I eat, that's what He wants me to eat. And what I wear, that's what He wants me to wear. And the circumstances I face, those are the circumstances that are best for me. That's all I need to know. Why do I look toward 1985 with such optimism? And I'll say this, I look to it with such optimism mainly because of yesterday. You cannot take yesterday from me. And yesterday is my best hope for tomorrow. For the goodness of God yesterday is proof of the goodness of God tomorrow. And God's wisdom yesterday in my life is all I need to know of His wisdom and help tomorrow. I've been chased by Egyptian armies. I faced the wide waters of the Red Sea. I felt the heat of the wilderness desert. Thank God I've drunk daily from the rock in Horeb. And thank God I've gathered each morning manna dropped from heaven. And thank God I've been led by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And thank God I have seen Sinai's tablets. And thank God I've seen the Shekinah descend to the holy place. And thank God I've seen the bitter waters of Marah made sweet by the tree of Calvary. And thank God I've seen deliverance by the brazen serpent held high. Thank God I've seen the troops of Pharaoh destroyed by the Red Sea's waters. And I've sung a song of deliverance on the right side of the Red Sea. You may confuse me with the problems of next year, but you cannot confuse me by the solutions of last year. You may tell me of the dangers ahead, but I point you to His grace behind. The greatest hope I have for tomorrow is yesterday. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. His grace has led me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. I cannot say tonight that some of you will not walk to Babyland in 1985 and place that precious little body beneath the sod and go walk away with a bronze shoe and a picture on the mantle. I cannot say that will not be your lot for 85. I cannot say it, but I can say this. I can say His grace will be sufficient. I cannot say that the one to whom you love the dearest
The one who entered into the becoming heirs of the grace of life, and the one who's the nearest on earth to you. I cannot say that that one who gave you his name at the altar will not be buried beneath the sod and that he may all go on to heaven this year. I cannot say, dear lady, that you'll not walk back to an empty bed and an empty place at the table. I cannot say that. I cannot say that 1985 will not be on the tombstone of your husband, but I can say this, amazing grace, how sweet the sound. His grace is sufficient, I know that. I cannot say to you that you'll be healthy all year. It may be that the test will come back negative or positive. It may be that the cancerous growth will be inside your body. I cannot say that you'll be healthy in 1985, but I can say His grace is sufficient, and He's ahead tonight preparing the way. I cannot say tonight that you'll not feel the cold blade of the surgeon's knife. I cannot say that they won't roll you down a hospital corridor in 1985 and your family will watch and cry and a pastor will pray and hope and the people back in the church will pray and you'll enter into surgery and your life will be at the hand of the surgeon's knife. I cannot say you won't have that this year, but I can say this. If I know anything about the future because of the past, His grace is sufficient for you. Through many dangers, toils, and snares we have already come. His grace that led us safe thus far, and grace will lead us home. Shall he who fed me as a child, shall he who fed my mother and me when we could not know how the next meal was coming, shall he not lead me in 85? Shall he who led me when my father walked over my body as I knelt begging him not to leave and said goodbye, never to enter into our house again? And I looked up and said, Daddy, wouldn't you rather have me than a bottle of whiskey? And my dad looked down and cursed me and stepped over my childish body and walked away never to live in our house again. Shall he who not provided for mother and me through those years not provide for me in 1985? Shall he who led me across the waters of the mighty sea, shall he not lead me across the little narrow river called the Jordan? Shall he who led me in the wilderness for 40 years not lead me in the land of Canaan, a land that flows with milk and honey? Shall he who has provided for me all these years and loved me and cared for me and blessed me when I did not deserve it and led me when I did not always want to follow and fed me when I did not deserve to be fed and clothed me with clothes far beyond for which I was deserving, shall he? I know he will. Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. And the way grows dreary, the long night's weary. I know my Savior cares. And God simply said to his people, look back and see what I've done for you. Did not I lead you out of Pharaoh's grip? Did not I lead you with the death of the Passover lamb and preserve the lives of your children and your firstborn? Did not I lead you into the waters of the Red Sea and part those waters and let you cross over on dry ground? And did not, as you entered left the other side of the Red Sea, did not the armies of Pharaoh drown in the Red Sea's waters? And did not I give you manna every morning from heaven? And did not I give you the water from the rock in Horeb, smitten to the rock of rod of Moses, and spoken to by Moses for those years? And did not I lead you by pillar of cloud by day to give you an air condition from the blistering sun? Did not I lead you by pillar of fire by night to give you a central heat the cold nights? Did not I give you quail for 30 days? Did not I lead you? Did not I? I'm the same God tomorrow that I was yesterday. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm the same in the past, the present, and the future. And if I've done this for you, I'll keep on doing this for you. If I gave you what was best yesterday, and if you have what's best today, you'll have what's best tomorrow. I just checked Philippians 4:13. This afternoon, I found it still in the Bible. By the way, its validity hasn't run out. It doesn't have to be renewed. It's always fresh. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I just checked Philippians 4:19. It's still in the Bible. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I just checked Matthew 6:33. It's still in the Bible. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I just checked Jeremiah 33:3. It's plain as day. Call unto me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. I just checked Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted for the river of waters that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Thank God, it's still in the book. I just checked it this afternoon. The book still says, in Psalm 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The Bible still says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Bible still says, delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And I stand tonight as your pastor, after having gone through bitter waters with you this year, and after having suffered with many of you, and prayed with many of you, and hurt with many of you, and died almost with many of you, and after we shed tears alone and together, I stand tonight to say, our God is the same God that loved us enough to give His Son to die for us on the cross. And how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? He's out in front tonight preparing your journey. If God is leading you away to college, He's preparing the way now. He's working now in the heart of somebody to get you a job. He's working, or it may be that you don't, it'd be best for you to have to go hungry for a while, or have to not have a job for a while, and have to have it tough. God may be preparing that, but look, if you just love Him, whatever comes, that's God's provision for you. He says to the Israelites, I've been all these years, I've been going out in the wilderness, and while you've been camped here, I've been out somewhere else trying to find the next place for you. And I found the next place. I said to the pillar of fire, go back there and lead them here. And the pillar of fire went back and said, follow me. He said, I said to the pillar of cloud, go back and lead them here. And the pillar of cloud went back and said, follow me. God tonight is the God of yesterday, and He's the God of today, and He's the God of tomorrow. And God never changes. I thought today, and I always think of it during the Christmas season, that little story that I've shared with you often, just a brief little story. I've shared it with you so often. The little girl was in the hospital, and the nurse was a little crabby that morning. It was in the Christmas season. Little girl was pretty bad sick. The nurse came in, and she had a crabby look on her face, and the little girl in the hospital looked up and said, nurse, did you hear? You must have not heard the good news.
Why?
Well, she said, you don't look like you heard the good news. And she said, what good news? She said, did you hear the good news that Jesus got born?
Yeah, I heard it.
Why can't you be happy then if you heard the good news that Jesus got born? Did you hear the good news? Did you hear the good news that Jesus got born? Did you hear the good news? Did you hear the good news that He lived a perfect life and fulfilled the law of Almighty God? Did you hear the good news? The good news that He went to Gethsemane's garden and said, not my will but thine be done. Did you hear the good news? The good news that He yielded Himself to the will of the Father and was led away to the high priest and on to Pilate and to Herod and back to Pilate. Did you hear the good news? He was stripped to the waist and beaten with a cat of nine tails, and the cross was placed on His back, and He carried up Golgotha's hill until the load became so heavy He fell beneath the load, and they took Simon of Cyrene, and Simon carried the cross the rest of the way up the hill. Did you hear the good news? He took your sins and my sins and placed them on His own record, and there on the cross dipped His own soul into the torments of hell. Did you hear the good news? Did you hear the good news? Now everybody, come ye sinners, poor and needy. Jesus' blood can make you clean. Did you hear the good news? Did you hear the good news? There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilt is tainted. Did you hear the good news? Did you hear the good news? They took His body and wrapped it for burial and laid it in Joseph's tomb. Did you hear the good news? Did you hear the good news? He was there 3 days and three nights. And after 3 days and three nights, death could not conquer Him. The grave could not hold Him. Satan could not defeat Him. But up from the grave He arose with a mighty triumph for His foes. Did you hear the good news? Did you hear the good news? That He lifted His hands after a few days and ascended back to the Father. Did you hear the good news? Tonight! He's sitting at the right hand of God as my lawyer, my intercessor, my mediator. Did you hear the good news? Did you hear the good news? The good news that even now He's preparing a home in the glory world for me. Did you hear the good news? My mama went there this year to get her mansion and to inhabit it. Did you hear the good news? Did you hear the good news? There's a land that is fairer than day. Sing it. And by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. Sing it. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore.
In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beauty. Did you hear the good news? Did you hear the good news that someday the dead shall rise at the trump of God and the voice of the archangel? Did you hear the good news that the body shall rise and be like the body of our blessed Lord? Did you hear the good news that the dead in Christ shall rise and be called up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord? Did you hear the good news? We're going to get married to Jesus as His lovely bride, and He'll be our bridegroom. Did you hear the good news? We're going to receive the judgment seat of Christ, rewards and crowns given to us, and we'll hurl those crowns at Jesus' feet and say, Lord, we don't deserve these. You take them. We can't wear one of them. Did you hear the good news? We're going to saddle on white horses and come back to the earth, and Jesus is going to become the King of all the world, and He shall reign where'er the sun does His successive journeys run. Did you hear the good news? Did you hear the good news that we're going to live here for 1,000 years and rule and reign with Him? Did you hear the good news? Then John said, I saw the holy city coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Let me tell you something. God never makes any mistakes. God never knows a surprise. God never says, uh-oh. God never says, oops. God never said, I'm sorry. God never did it. Why? Because God's ways are always perfect ways. That'll do away with complaining. That'll do away with griping. Now, I tell you, the only New Year's resolution I made last year, on New Year's Day, I opened my Bible to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 6, and I wrote down these words, I resolve in all my ways to acknowledge Him. And I've done it. I've done it. I've kept that New Year's resolution as best I could. I've acknowledged Him on airplanes. I've acknowledged Him in airports. I've acknowledged Him in many, many of the states of this union. I've acknowledged Him in rest homes. I've acknowledged Him in hospitals. I've acknowledged Him on street corners. I've acknowledged Him at doorsteps. I've acknowledged Him to the young, the old, and the teenagers, and the little children in all my ways. And it's His job. And He is my path director. And so tonight, He's out yonder in 1985. He's choosing where you're supposed to be. Now, part of 1985, I'm sure He'll have you in a beautiful, beautiful place to dwell. But in parts of 85, He may have you up on the jagged rocks. In parts of 85, He may have you in the bright sunshine. In parts of 85, He may have you in the shadows. But that doesn't matter. He's preparing the way. He's the path preparer, and you're the acknowledger. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. So come on, 1985. Give it your best shot. My God is already preparing my year. He's picking out, even now, just what I need. And my resolution for next year is to acknowledge Him. Just praise Him and preach Him and love Him and teach Him and speak about Him and adore Him and worship Him and honor Him. That's my job. And it's His job to direct my path. Ladies and gentlemen, I stand as your pastor tonight after pastoring you for the 25th year, a quarter of a century. Do you understand what that means? Do you understand that I've been your pastor almost one-eighth of the history of the United States of America? Do you understand that? Do you understand that one-eighth of American history we have lived together as pastor and people? Do you understand that? We've seen 25 winters together. We've seen 25 falls and 25 summers. We've seen no springs together. We've seen 25 three-month summers, 25 three-month falls, and 25 six-month winters together. We've stood together on the sidewalk and watched buildings burn. And we've said, God's way is the best way. He knoweth the best. We stood beside our dead and kissed them goodbye. And I was thinking tonight as I served the deacons, I was thinking of the deacons I used to serve. I was thinking of the men as I walked down and served these good men and smiled at them and spoke to some of them. I was thinking about hands that used to reach out. And as I saw Larry Stromberg tonight working here doing his job so faithfully, I saw George Huizenga standing back there, and I thought about it.
And I missed him. And I saw the big chubby hand of Blandford Duff as he reached out and got to put his big old fat chubby hand to get a little piece of the bread. And I saw dear hearted Dunsworth as he reached for the bread tonight. And I saw Bill Gifford as he reached for the bread. I mean, we've seen some shadows together. We've shed some tears together. We've seen some victories together. We faced the wall together. We stood on mountaintop together. But there's one thing I serve notice to you concerning tonight, and that is our God is a good God. And His way is always the best way. Don't you doubt what He's done in 1984. He's the one who prepared the path. And don't you wonder how 1985 is going to be. You just love Him and acknowledge Him, and I'll guarantee you what's best for you. I didn't say what you think is best for you, but what He who is omniscient thinks is best for you, He will prepare for you. It may be He'll have to push you out of the nest and swoop down and catch you and scare you for a while. But I was thinking about that. You know, that little bird would never know how good the nest felt unless it had fallen out at least once. Don't you think that little bird, when he got back short, it'd feel good? I bet that little bird said, boy, I never realized what I had, and I lost it. And I bet that little bird snuggled up close to the wings and breast of its mother and said, Mother, your breast never felt so good and your wings never felt so safe as they do tonight, because I'm back in my nest again. And so God looked on toward the people as they left the land of the past and went toward the land of the future. And God said, I cannot tell you that you'll be pleased with my provision, but I can tell you they'll be my provision. And I cannot tell you that they'll be what you want, but I can tell you that they'll be what I want for you. And I cannot tell you that you'll think it's best, but I can tell you that it will be best. For even now, I'm clearing the path for your next stop on the journey called 1985. We've not passed this way before. We've not passed this way before. But I'll guarantee you, the same God that has led us through 84 will lead us through 85. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that has led me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Our Heavenly Father,